Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where our sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
I got a message that God put on my heart a couple weeks ago, and just I've been marinating with it. And I'm like, how does it fit my house? How does it fit this house? And he says, because you have a bunch of leaders. You have a bunch of gifted people. And gifted people need to hear this message. And he took me through my history and realized I needed this message. And I would title it several different things. I'm not going to tell you the end results of the title, but we'll call it the seat of authority. We'll start off with there. Then we'll find the real root of this message today. So you guys ready? Yeah. Put your hand on your heart. Say, Holy Spirit,
I invite you
to be the teacher of the heavenly things. Cut off the earthly things off of me and mold me into his image. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start off with finding out why this isn't working. There we go. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of this earth. This is interesting because Jesus is the king of kings. Upon whom, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood. Verse 6. And made us kings and priests. Amen. Made us kings and priests. Say that.
Made us kings and priests.
Say, I'm a king.
I'm a king.
And I'm a priest.
I'm a priest.
For what he did on Calvary. So, last week I preached about being a king and a priest. And I want to tell you that if you're a king, you have a seat of authority.
Yes.
And many times we have people in ministry, we have people in business that you figure out you're a king and you sit in the seat of authority and you judge according to the responsibility that you have. If you have employees, you judge them.
That's right. Come on.
If you want to keep them, you actually give them a paycheck. If you don't, quit paying them, they'll leave. But let me say that this is not a king because I'm in business. I'm a king because he said I was a king.
Amen.
Every one of you are a king.
Yes, sir.
In other words, you have the right to sit in your seat of authority and make judgments.
Yes, right. Come on. Come on.
That's what kings do. But in those judgments, you make them for the betterment of your household, the betterment of your personal finances, relationships. If you've got kids, you're a king. This morning, my police officer son showed up early in his uniform at our house. I haven't seen him in a while, and man, dude, he's just bad to the bone. I'm thinking, I'm glad I'm a good boy, because if he could hurt me. I mean, he's got his bulletproof vest on. He's strapped up with things that would just mess you up, and I just said, hey, I said, come here. Stand right there. Is what I said. I got something to tell you. So I just hugged him and I whispered. I said, I love you. I said, I'm so proud of you.
That's right.
And being the smart aleck that I am, I didn't stop there. I said, I haven't spanked you in a long time. At that, he pulls his taser and he starts going, drr, drr. I'm like, ah! And he goes, my spankings hurt more than yours do now. And man, when that thing started popping off with electricity, I'm like, holy smoly. You know, I'm not going to spank him anymore. I figured that out. He explained to me that how much this is, his vest and his gun and his taser and how much it weighs. And he says, yeah, I get a criminal down. I just roll on him.
Uh-oh.
You know, they want to fight with me. I just put all this weight on him. I'm thinking, okay, good. I'll keep sending my taxes so you can do that. See, he's a king in that arena. And when you won't judge yourself, he'll judge you. The problem with being a king is it says king and priest. And the problem, many of us won't wear the priest hat first. If you won't wear the priest hat, you become a dictator and not a king. You become a tyrant instead of a father. You become just a provider instead of a husband. But when you can be the priest that he called you to be, you will go to Jesus, your high priest, and find out how to be one. When my family was in disarray and my marriage was shot and everything was hopeless, and I meet Jesus in a powerful way, he introduced himself as a king to me, because here's what he said: you'll put your hand in my hand, I'll never leave you, forsake you. Or when he pointed, I saw hell, I'll let hell have its way with you. Some of you met sweet baby Jesus laying in a manger. I met a king and he was going to kill me. That was a death thing there. I know I'm not allowed to say kill anymore, but I slipped up. He was going to discipline me beyond my breath. Is that better than kill? But he loved me enough. He knew this hard-headed boy needed discipline. His eyes that looked through me, that threatened to let hell have its way with me, brought me into correction, because I never let anybody judge me. I didn't judge myself. I didn't judge my father. I was in a rebellious state of mind. But when he walked through the wall, King Jesus said, you want to die? You want to live? You want to walk with me? Or you want hell to have its way with you? So then he taught me to be a priest to my family. My family was in disarray. Susie and I had been living a stupid lifestyles. And so how do you live with this woman who's now unholy? And I'm so righteous. How do you put up with your pot-smoking kids that are now cops?
Wrong kid.
Well, they go together.
They blend together.
Yeah. And see, he was teaching me to be a king, but he had to teach me to be a priest first. So I went to the Lord and I said, if me and my wife are one, I repent for her sins as if they're mine. That's what a priest does. A priest stands before the people that you're responsible for and God, and you intercede. Amen. And then because I became a good priest, he told my wife, I was king. I earned the responsibility. I earned the right to be a king. Because I was a good priest. The problem was I didn't know God, the Father. I had to be a son first of God the Father. And I had father issues. They needed to be healed. So later on, a gentleness came on me that was never on me. I was a ruthless king. We were telling stories of people that had cheated me out of money in business, and I was ruthless. I didn't play. But I wasn't a priest, and I wasn't a son yet. But as my sonship came in, some tenderness came that needed to come. So now I can tell you that I'm a son, I'm a priest, and I'm a king. Yeah. And I sit in this seat today whole. But it's taken me 25 years to get in this seat and tell you I'm whole. So as I started this message, the Lord says, I want you to share your journey. See, this is where we want to wind up, with all three hats on, knowing I'm a son of the Heavenly Father. I have a spiritual father. I have a natural father who has become a spiritual son. God did some healing there. That's all great. It's wonderful. But there's a process, and some of us are still battling. Some of you, because you have gifting, prophetic insight, you've become judgmental and critical. And you can't sit in the seat and say you're whole. I'll actually use scripture now. So here's some things that the body of Christ has got to understand. We're called to sit in a seat as a king. I think I'll just wear my king hat for a while. And a priest. But we've had scriptures like Luke 6:37. It says, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Matthew 7:1 says, judge not, that you do not be judged. And these scriptures have been taken completely out of context to where when you bring a correction to somebody, they go, don't judge me. Brother, that's under grace. No, that's sin, dude. Grace is a offensive empowerment, not a defensive excuse. Amen. Your requirement from God is to walk in holiness. That's right. The requirement to God is to walk with Him. Okay? And when I look at people and I look at situations, I'm a king. I'm a whole king. And now I sit in a place of responsibility over people, and I see people doing stupid stuff, and I bring correction to them, and they get mad.
Yes, sir.
Who do you think you are? Well, problem is, I know who I am.
Exactly.
The problem is, you're about to fall off of a truck. You're about to fall off a cliff. We've got people that are probably listening today that if they would have listened to some of my correction, they might not have gotten divorced. But nobody wants to be judged because nobody will judge themselves. That was good. Thank you, Susie. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Most of us won't judge ourselves, but we have no problem judging somebody else. That was good, Ron. Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more then matters pertaining to this life? See, that judge not stuff, don't be judged. Listen, some of us are taking other people's sins and judging them instead of taking them to the cross. And when you are not going to use the cross for their error and mistakes, then you are judging in error. 1 Corinthians 11:31. But if we judge ourselves truly, we will not be judged. The problem is, if you're a king, the first person you judge is you.
Amen.
Now, I can remember when I'd tell to Susie, I'd say, Susie, that's incorrected. You need to behave yourself and stop this. And she'd, don't judge me. Who do you think you are? And I'm like, well, the two became one. I'm judging myself. Now straighten up and fly right. And she'd leave for a couple days. No. And Lord be like, would you shut up? I said, what do you mean, God? And he gave me Ecclesiastes 5, somewhere like that. And he says, I'm in heaven, you're on earth, therefore let your words be few. That was a small escape there, Sue. Luke chapter 12, verse 57. Why do you not judge yourself what is right? John 7:24. Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. What is he saying here? Do not judge by appearances. I made this statement in Kingdom School, and I wrote it down even. When you can't find the gold in someone, you will criticize the dirt.
Absolutely.
See, we're supposed to judge righteous judgments. Name of our church is Identity Church. When I see people's actions that need to be corrected, most of the time it's attached to a lie that they believed, which has given them a false identity.
Right.
So if I say to Ted, Ted, that behavior is not the behavior of a righteous king. What I'm saying is the behavior is not connected to the right identity. Figure out who you are and stop that. Is that wrong? Then why do we get so offended? Jesus said it this way. He's my example, by the way. John 8:16. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. So if Christ is in you and you're in Christ, are you using him to help you with the insight to judge? If you're sitting in the seat of a king in leadership over a department, over a ministry, over people, and you're a king, you're going to have to take a deep breath in your spirit and say, Holy Spirit, you, Mr. High Priest, how do I handle this situation? Amen. Is there an identity issue? Is it just a demonic issue that this person needs help? And we can cast that thing out and we can start walking together. God said to me years ago, I will never use you to judge anyone unless you're willing to walk them through the healing process. See, but that was a problem for me because I was judgmental. I was critical. All right, can I be honest? I was mean. How many think prophets are mean? Well, you should put up with you. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a joke. So as I'm going through the healing process, God puts me in a large church. The first day we walk there, it's a couple thousand member church. I believe it's heaven is, the bells of heaven are ringing. I found my spiritual home. This is where my kids will go to school. This is where I'll serve God. This is where I'll be trained from the ministry call of my life. And I walk down, I shake the pastor's hand. I go, hey, I'm Charlie Coker. He goes, yeah. I'm like, well, you haven't heard of me yet? Isn't that what we do? You haven't heard of me? You haven't seen the anointing on my life? You don't see the prophet's call on me? God didn't show you I'm supposed to preach. I shook his hand and I'm like, hey, God told me to come serve here. He goes, that's good. I says, let's have lunch sometime. He goes, I'm pretty busy. That probably will never happen. I think we should kill that man. And that's what he did. But the problem is when I shook his hand, I went into a vision and I saw all his dirt. I saw all his corruption. I saw all his wounds. Took me 3 years to find gold because I had a broken filter. And I wasn't walking with God. I was walking with God as a prophet and as a king, but I wasn't a priest. And I wasn't a son, and I wasn't whole. And God made me serve him. And I would sit in that, and he'd be preaching. That man could do an altar call and get a jackass saved. There were people that just hit. He was one of the great preacher, but I knew what he was doing afterwards. I knew his lifestyle. And he would stand up under the anointing and people got saved. There's people that are members of this church that got saved in his altars. I'm still wondering if it's sticking. But I would sit there and I'd be critical. How could you trust a man with a church this size? He's a scoundrel. Well, let me explain something to you. He went to prison for drug trafficking and kidnapping, but had an anointing to preach the gospel. And I'm sitting in the seat of the scornful. Here's what it says in Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. I sat in this church and I criticized, I backbit, I did everything I could not to tell what I knew. And I couldn't do it. Because I was a broken man, and all I was doing is criticizing the dirt. I couldn't find the gold. It took me years to find the gold. The Lord says to me, how does a man start with 27 people and go to 2,000 without my anointing, without my grace? Probably not by accident. He said, if you had quit criticizing his shortcomings and find the gold with him, I'll give you the gold. You can't have what you don't honor. And if you honor the broken part, you will become the broken part. If you pursue, backbite, and judge the broken parts, that is what you will become. It's called bitter root judgment. Verse 2 of Psalms. Nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. God kept saying, I've called you to sit in the seat of authority. I've called you to be a king and a priest, but I can't use you anymore. So why? He says, you can't find the gold in that man. If you can't find the gold in that man, you won't find the gold in the sinner in the streets. If you can't find the gold in that man, you won't find the gold in that prostitute. You won't find the gold in that drug dealer. You won't find the gold in that addict, that broken marriage, that broken. You won't. If you can't find the gold, I can't use you.
That's right.
And I wanted to be used. And I wanted to be whole. And I wanted to be healthy. And every time he would say something or do something, I'd just, How many have sat in the seat of the scornful before? Criticized leaders because you could do it better. Look at our strong gifting, but you find our weaknesses. Our inabilities. And you sit there with this call of God on your life. And you could do it better. But God didn't trust you to do it better. He told you to support the one that he sent you to. How many really desire to sit in the seat and be whole?
Amen.
You want to get rid of your critical spirit? You want to get rid of your backbiting, your judging? I said, God, you gave me this prophetic gifting. I know stuff that you can't trust me with. How many have pursued the prophetic side to know stuff, the insights of heaven and help? I mean, you ask for, it says to desire spiritual gifts. Then we get them and we criticize. We judge. Instead of finding the gold. And so I'm saying, God, what are you showing me? And he showed me sitting in a chair like this. And a sign comes above my head. It says, King. He said, that's you, son. And then another sign pops up and it said, priest. He said, that's you, son. That's your calling. But this is why I can't use you. And the sign, seat of the scornful, pops up. And listen, I tried with everything I could not to. But I did not have the intestinal fortitude to find gold. The dirt was too loud. My criticism was more important than his promises. And I finally said, God, if you can't use me, then I quit. I quit. And the Lord said, how about if you just yield to me and let me heal you and show you how to sit in this great seat of authority and judge in righteousness and judge in priestly holiness? I said, can you do that? He said, yeah. Watch this. And in this vision, this is what he did. He came and he took my seat. He turned it upside down. And he walked up. And he grabbed three nails. He said, these nails hung me on the cross and gave you that authority. Don't ever forget these nails. And he took these nails. Then he said, have a seat. Have a seat. It wasn't quite that far up.
Hold it up.
Yes, ma'am.
There we go.
And this three nails were sticking in the bottom of the seat. And he said, have a seat, son. He said, when you remember the nails that you're feeling in your behind, you'll judge in righteousness. When you sit in a seat and you hear the preacher preaching and I show you stuff hidden in his life, you'll look for the gold. You'll find the greatness. Have a seat in a righteous seat. Then I can use you. I said, God, I never want to sit in a seat of the scornful again. When you see their dirt, you see their failings, you see their addictions, you see the thing that is about to destroy them, I will give you authority over that when you pray those prayers. I will move because I want that removed from them too. But if you're going to judge them and criticize, you take yourself out of your place of authority. And I can't use you anymore. See, the seat of the scornful. I need to knock those down just a little bit more. Here's the problem. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. See, you can meditate on the law of God if you're willing to sit in the seat with the nails in it. Because anytime you find a broken place, a sinful place, a place of darkness, because of those nails, I have the authority to speak light. I have the authority to speak life. He paid for it, and he said, because of these nails, go give life and give it more abundantly. Break that addiction that is messing with that person. Break that, heal that broken place in that leader who can't lead because he's been so rejected and so wounded from his father, his mother, his sheep. The system of religion that kills. But you know, it says in Proverbs 13:1, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scornful does not listen to rebuke. I'm telling you, y'all want to pray a real dangerous prayer? Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit.
If I need a rebuke, send somebody to me. Mm-hmm. Ron, sick him. No. Proverbs 9:7-8. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, for he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. The question is, are you a scoffer or are you a wise man? You can answer that on how you handled your last rebuke. How did you handle your last rebuke? I went through a season of my life, this season, trying to get over some of this stuff. And the Lord, I said, Lord, what in the heck's going on? There are false accusations coming from every dimension of my life. And they're wrong. And he says, well, you asked to be more like me. No, I want sweet baby Jesus laying in a manger that everybody loves. He said, do you know how many false accusations and lies that were told about me? Yeah. Did I curse them? No, you're not like me then. Did I defend myself? Not only to the religious. But how do I turn what I think is negative into a positive? And he says, there's enough truth in every false accusation that you can improve if you want to be like me.
All right.
Or you can be a scoffer and go, that's not true. Well, You gave the persona. You gave the appearance. Here's the issue. If you notice, I'm not sitting there. Aaron, guess I got to do this. No, still going. So here's the thing. We have the fivefold minister. We have the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. That's earthly ministry. That is temporal. That's not eternal. The church has a beginning, has an end. These are government positions for the church to come into the wholeness of the kingdom. But king, priest, and son is eternal. Here's what he says in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts. I will give you the right of access among those who stand here. I would rather have authority in heaven than on earth, because if I don't have it in heaven first, I'll never get anything accomplished on earth. Where are you more proud of, that your name is written on the roll books of a church, or they're written in the books in heaven? If I hadn't learned not to sit in the seat of the scornful, I would not be sitting whole in a seat of authority. The backbiting, the criticism, the strife, the world, just like a tornado around some of us. It's got to stop. The seed of the scornful is the root of it. God's wanting to do something so supernatural with every individual. There is a corporate release of heaven right now in the earth. It's shifting. As God is saying, I've been preparing you for years. Some of you in this room are straight up prophets. I know you, but you've been sitting in the seat of the scornful and you're eliminating your day of promotion. Because you can't look past the dirt and find the gold. I believe there's a window of grace for all of us to have the encounter and feel his nail prints one more time. It's up to you. Some of you will not like the next season. Because the next season, you're probably going to get rebuked. Are you going to be wise, or are you going to run? I was on the way to church this morning. I called my dad. I said, what are you doing? It's cold out. He's 91. What does that mean? He goes, I'm not going to church. At my age, that's not backsliding. It's just cold out. I said to him, I said, Dad, I said, there's a man in my church who's given me credit for dragging him out of a cave. He says, yeah. It feels good to be used again. But I've realized I've been in a cave too. See, this week I was praying for some people who used to work for me. The Lord was showing me some things in business and influences. And I was going down all these people who worked for me, who know God and my influence has brought lasting fruit in their lives. And I was blessing them. And this one guy, he came to work for me, and actually, I told him, he used to stay at my house. He was a rep, and he made a lot of money, and God spoke to me one day. He's a good old Baptist boy back then.
And I said, God told me you're going to work for me one day. He's like, dude, you can't pay me what I'm worth, and ain't never going to happen. I'm like, okay, God lied, but you're going to work for me one day. Well, long and short of it, he had a moral failure, and another rep showed up at my store early that morning. He goes, I had a dream last night. Did you hear what happened to Rick? And I said, no, I didn't. And he goes, God told me to tell you, you're supposed to hire him, give him a job. So I called him, and he came to work for me. And we worked with him, and he worked for me. And I sat down with his wife, who was trying to divorce him because of his failures. And I said to his wife, I said, I make you this promise. If I ever catch him doing pornography, or even the hint of an adulterous relationship, I will tell you. I caught him doing porn. I gave him a 1 hour heads up to go tell his wife before I do. It was a pretty good crisis in the middle of a plan to get healed. They still got healed. They're still married years later. He's successful. And I'm praying for him because God said, listen, you have more fruit than you know. And I see an empty seat next to her and him, and I see him every once in a while in Jacksonville, but I hadn't seen him. I haven't been around him in years. But we went to the mall in Jacksonville yesterday or day before. And he walks by. It's Rick. He sits down. And I put a hat on that he had never seen me wear before. And I told him how proud of him I was. You beat the odds. You believed God. Your marriage is healed. Your kids are saved. Rick, I'm so proud of you. He had never seen this. I'm crying. He's crying. Susie comes up. Hey, how you doing? He goes, I've never seen that from him. He's always been a hard ass. But when you learn to sit with his nails, prints in your butt, then you'll be a righteous father. You'll be a godly king. I said, what did I see? Well, her father just passed. That was the vacant seat, because little girls sometimes don't know how to go from a loving father to a crazy husband. But he's now gone. I said, Ricky, you have an opportunity to get her whole heart now and finish what God started years ago. He goes, wow, I never saw that. I'm like, I didn't either. I just saw that. And I loved on him in just a few minutes. I saw some things that let me know he's struggling still in some areas. But I saw the gold. A father finds the gold. And you speak to the gold and let the gold become the priority of your identity to please him. The dirt will wash away. Amen. The dirt will dissipate. But the gold always remains. This is the season to get out of the seat of the scornful. And know the one who paid the price to find gold. Stand on your feet. It says in the Bible that Jesus paid for the sins of the world. And I believe that. That's universal atonement. Universal atonement is real, it's biblical. But that is not universal salvation. That's an individual choice. If you're here today and you can say, Pastor Charlie, I really don't know if I've ever experienced those nail prints. Really don't know if I've ever experienced the release of a sin or a nature of sin. I feel like I'm still a sinner that maybe gets grace. And you just need to say, I need to know. I want to make a recommitment today. And I want to get out of that seat of the scornful. I want to make sure I'm born again. I want to make sure I'm walking with Him. If that's you, you need to raise your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? There's something about His nails. What He paid on the cross for me. You need to have an experience with what He paid so you can get past it and be like Him. Because He's not there anymore. He went once. He's not coming again. He just wants you to experience it once so you'll be like Him. Anybody else? I'm going to pray a prayer. First of salvation, then a prayer of rededication, and then I'm going to pray a prayer of repentance from sitting in the seat of the scornful. Say, Holy Father,
Holy Father,
I thank You for sending Jesus,
to
the cross, that paid for my sin debt.
All judgment
was put on Him, so that when I do judge, it'll be with the Holy Spirit's blessing.
It'll bring life and not death.
I thank You for eternal life.
I receive it completely.
I am born again.
And I am created in Your image.
Lord Jesus,
I ask You to forgive me
for sitting in the seat of the scornful.
For criticizing Your sons and daughters.
For being hard-hearted
toward Your leadership
that You put in place.
And I'm a little upset with You too,
because a lot of them have flaws.
But I'm going to look past their dirt.
I'm going to find the gold in them
that looks just like You.
Give me the prophetic insight
to help them,
to encourage them,
to undergird them,
and believe them
because You sent them.
And let me,
if they will let me,
minister to them.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'll loan you my chair.
If you need to come and sit.
That was a different version because I was going to use all my hats.
As I was preparing this message, we were at a conference this weekend, and I wind up in the green room with a who's who, trying to mind my own business, and that never works. And I'm doing deliverance on a guy in the green room. It was pretty impressive. When I say impressive, because I know who I am, but I also know who's in me. I heard a lot of messages, and I was going to steal a couple of them and preach them today. But the Lord said to me, oh, you'll preach some of that stuff. He said, but if you had never gotten over the seat of the scornful, you would have done none of this. You're going to have a house full tomorrow. that I'm trying to promote. I'm trying to put into places of influence. Because I want to win cities. This is the message to preach. I hope you never forget it. And I'm telling you, I've never forgot it. From the original vision, there's times where I've sat in the seat and I was going to exercise judgment and the priest thing would rise up and I would feel those nail prints. And I would take a breath. I would say, Holy Spirit, how do we judge this? How do we judge this? He's never failed to give me wisdom. He's never failed to give me grace. And he's never failed to protect me from the scoffer who accused me of being mean, who accused me of being not accurate, because that's going to come. But when you can hear his voice, exercise authority, because as God's given righteous authority, the timing will be right and the grace will be there to shift into the purpose of the kingdom to be expanded. He never fails you. Do you have some?
I can't remember if it was last Sunday or two Sundays ago, but I had a vision during worship. And I didn't share it because I knew it was for me. I didn't know that it was for the body. And Pastor Gary came up to me and he said, Karen, have you ever seen the movie Gold Rush, or the show Gold Rush? And I was like, no, I don't watch too much TV. And he said, I see you and you're taking people through the purifying process so that you can see the gold and not the dirt. Well, I knew right away, it's like he was so right on, because the vision that I had and what I saw was a river flowing through here. And it was a very shallow river. And the Lord handed me what looks like what a little kid would take to the beach. And it was this sifter with all the holes in it. And he'd have me get down on my knees and dig in the dirt and then shaking back and forth. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, all that's coming up are rocks. And they look dirty. And he'd say, dip it again. Dip it again. And slowly I began to see that what was looked like dirt was really the gold. So I believe his message is right on time. So let's be people that pan for gold.
Last Wednesday, Prophet Ron brought a word to the house. It'll be in our library. It'll be titled, The Shift Is On. You need to go listen to it. He spoke some things directly to me, some things directly to the house. And the shift is on. And if we're sitting in the seat of the scornful, we won't make the shift. But I'm telling you, I'm making the shift. I told my dad today, I think I'm saved again. Now, what does that sound like? I've never backslid. I've been walking with God. But the accuracy and the government call that I've known and I have carried in the past is back. And my dad said, he goes, son, I've been doing this longer than you, and sometimes he has put you in the cave to protect the other people from you. And what does that mean? Doesn't mean you're backslid. He's pruning you. Mean he's maturing you. But we're coming out of the caves, guys. We're coming out of the caves, and we're going to be the prophets and the apostles, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. And that's all great. That all sounds like ministry. No, the saints are going to come marching. When your sainthood and your sonship becomes your banner, the other stuff becomes an asset instead of a liability. I think Ron's good.
So, thanks for, it was an amazing word. And I encourage folks on Wednesday to do business with the Lord, because what I can't express in words the seriousness of the moment we're in. And He doesn't care what position you hold. He doesn't care the title that you have. It doesn't matter. If you've got to position yourself if you want to be a part of what He's doing in this hour. But the Lord keeps showing me, and it's in the book of Joel, many are in the valley of decision right now. And you've got to make a decision. Your indecision will only keep you outside of what God is doing. And so there's a repentance that needs to come in this house for the things that have been said. You know, when nobody's looking, God sees. And He wants to clean that mess up. He wants to clean you up because you have a purpose and a plan and a destiny in Him. But He's putting His finger on something. And He wants you to deal with it. And I told the folks Wednesday, and there weren't nearly as many here, but there were the right people. It's the right amount of people here. Some of you already know. I already saw it in the Spirit. Some of you have already come to Charlie and repented. And but there are some others that need to repent. You need to come and repent. And not because it's just the right thing to do. It's what God is saying to do in this moment. So I encourage you not to miss this opportunity, because you do not want to miss what God is about to do.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.